Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in New York City, not in the studio today, but live nonetheless. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, and like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a hump day. And as always, we play the camel at the beginning of the show. That means coming up beginning of third hour, we jump to a thing we call the Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren who've been doing talk radio longer than me. And we just run the numbers, man. We just see what the questions are, and we hit the answers and just sometimes agree and sometimes we don't. But, hey, love each other at the end. Let me call the roll real quick, make sure I got my crew. So FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show, editor-in-chief of 1819 News, does work with Breitbart, Lanyap, and other stuff too. That would be Jeff Poor. Are you present?
I am present.
You are indeed, and I'm glad. And then looking northward to the other end of the state, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN out of Huntsville, host of the Dale Jackson Show. Oh, by the way, does a thing with Yellowhammer. Oh, by the way, does a TV gig. Dale Jackson, are you there?
What?
You are indeed. Stand at ease. All right. I pronounce a quorum, JP. Hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da. All right, fellas, let's get her on. So I'm gonna go Jeff Poor first. What you got?
The Birmingham Stallions are threatening to leave Birmingham.
Yeah.
This is contingent on them selling 5,000 season tickets. Can they do it, or is it over for the Birmingham Stallions? This iteration of them in Birmingham.
Listen, man, how many times have we gone through some kind of a semi-professional team in Birmingham? I can remember years ago, my dad having the first Stallions season tickets, and then we had the Birmingham Vulcans at one point before that. I mean, it's just, it's sad. I mean, we got a great stadium. I don't know how much incentive they were given by the city of Birmingham, but I question if they can sell the tickets. The community is going to have to rally behind it, Dale.
How many tickets did they put in there for UAB?
How many what?
How many fans are they putting in there for UAB?
I don't know. How many fans show up for UAB, Jeff? Yeah, yeah, I do.
I think at best 10,000.
Yeah, it ain't going to happen. But they're going to try to hang on until the bitter end, I guess. But they're not going to sell those tickets. Nobody cares about that. I'm sorry. They just don't.
So, Jeff, let me ask you, did they get incentives from the city to come there and set up the team?
They did, and incentives, I think, a big part of the justification for the construction of the stadium in 2017 was contingent on some kind of, you know, UFL, Birmingham Fire, Birmingham Stallions, whatever it may be, coming to play there in the community, being able to sustain its presence.
I mean, it's not a bad stadium. It's actually a pretty good thing for them, but if it's going to be empty, that's going to be awful.
So what I understand, I've only been to one Auburn bowl game there when they played Houston like 4 or 5 years ago. I think it was the last bowl game Auburn was in, as a matter of fact. But the deal with the UFL is it's a made for TV league. They don't play their games at night. It's in the middle of the summer. So therefore, it's a terrible flawed concept that people in Birmingham are going to go in the heat in the middle of like June or July to go watch very mediocre football.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of doomed. If it was an indoor stadium with air conditioning, maybe. But yeah, it was flawed from the get go. I don't think they're going to sell. To answer your first question, I don't think they're going to sell the 5,000, and that's sad because once again, we'll watch a team come and go.
Although I will say this. If they want mediocre football, all they have to do is wait until the fall Auburn plays.
Well, now, said the Florida fan, I mean, how many national championships have y'all got? Oh, wait a minute. We got more this week. We just racked them up. So just thank you very much.
Just like the product on the field for Protective Life, Auburn has a following. People will go watch Auburn play crappy football and fill 85,000 seats. So, I mean, like, there's no market for this.
All right. Speaking of which, I'm taking the next question. You just that was a nice segue into my question. So two of us on this line are actually Auburn fans. I want to know your thoughts on the fact that I'm not asking JP because I know exactly where he stands, but I want to know where your thoughts are right now on the fact that Auburn has gone ahead and said, you know what? We do have more national championships. And I'm looking at, I mean, Bowden season, Tuberville season, These were big deal seasons, and now we're counting them as now we have 9 national championships. I'm going to Jeff first so that he can actually chime in as somebody who cares.
Yeah, as an Auburn alum, I don't like it. I always thought it was sort of an Auburn thing not to claim these national championships unless you want it outright the right way. I mean, I just probably surprised a lot of people. I don't really care what Alabama fans or Georgia fans or anybody else for that matter thinks, but I just kind of wish they hadn't have done this, but I get it. Maybe there's a marketing element. I don't know who we're fooling. We know what it is. It's just they should have done it 40 years ago if this is what we were going to do.
Does this have anything to do with our next governor being the former coach of one of the national championship teams that just got their ring finally?
Maybe. I don't know. Does he have a? I mean, he's coached a lot of places, though. I guess he never coached a national championship team, even when he was an assistant.
All right, Dale, chomp it. What do you got?
Well, the Gators, we win all of our championships on the field. We have 3 of them, and that's about it. No, that's all we're probably ever going to have, but it's okay. Man, you guys can do this. I mean, why not? Alabama has done it. We know that.
Aha.
Other places are going to claim championships. Jeff said it best earlier today when he said, I think, Bike Weekly claimed that Alabama was a championship. And they're like, oh, that counts. And so that's sort of how they've done it. So, yeah, I think it's completely fine. It's marketing. I can't wait until they're embarrassing themselves by putting that up on the stadium just like UCF does. I look forward to that. So, yeah, do it. Go for it.
I feel certain that somewhere along the line, someone's going to honor Steve Spurrier with at least 2 more, and you know it.
I don't know where you'd get them from. There's no real argument you can make. I mean, I don't think they have that. The way they do it now is actually far better. So I don't think they need to do it at all.
All right, far better. Speaking of far better, take the next question, Dale. What do you got?
All right, so since we're kind of all over the place here, I'll just go ahead and ask this random question. They're talking about putting the Epstein files out, some version of them, redacted, whatever. Will that end this stupid nonsense?
All right, so I didn't know if we would get all the way to round 2 before Dale brought up the Epstein files.
I just want it over.
So, put a lot of time into this segment.
Yeah, I can tell. He thought about it like right as he logged on. I can already tell. So the bottom line is today the judge denied the DOJ's request to unseal a grand jury transcript and evidence. And that's, they shouldn't be unsealing grand juries just because people want to know. It doesn't work that way. I don't know. They're handing it off to House Oversight. They say they're going to redact stuff and start releasing things that haven't been released yet. I don't know if it's really going to make a difference, to be honest with you, Jeff.
I don't think it's ever going away. I think they could release everything. I think they could show everything. People are always going to be suspicious of all this, and we're just going to have to live with the it's going to be like Kennedy assassination or whatever other conspiracy in American history we've been dealing with.
We're going to have a book out there one day that's going to have the president's book, Area 51, Who Shot JFK, Jimmy Hoffa, and the Epstein Files all like have their own chapters. It's going to be all right. So it's your own question, Dale. Pray tell, what is your thought?
No, I don't think it matters. I was speaking to the House Oversight Committee. They're talking about what they're going to do, and you laid it out. And then people are going to say, oh, yeah, but those redactions are all Donald Trump, every single one of them. So it's him. He did it all. And they'll bring it up at every time. Why is he doing this? Well, the Trump Epstein thing. That's the real story. So I just wondered.
Well, I did see one pundit on CNN the other day that flat out said the only reason why they're releasing him is so they could turn around and fire Bongino. And I was trying to figure out where they connected the dots on that. No, I don't think so at all. Not at all. Not once. No. All right. I'm calling it. That's it. That's round 1. That was quick. We're taking a break. We'll come right back from this. We're going to take round 2 of the Grand Council with Jeff Poore, Dale Jackson, and just little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. All right, listen, broadcasting to you live from up here in New York City, hitting a CNN gig tonight. But I'm doing the Grand Council right now with 2 of my brethren in talk radio. So let me go to round 2. First question, Jeff Poore, what do you got?
It's cooled off a little bit, but we've been talking a lot about Ukraine, Russia, and Trump being the president that's going to solve this and the potential for him getting a Nobel Prize. I don't think that's going to happen, but At what point is it too much? At what point does Trump's base say, hey, you know, we voted against people who were really all in on Ukraine and focused on Ukraine? Is the Trump administration running the risk of spending too much time and effort on the Ukraine-Russia question?
My thought is no. And I say that because this is the largest full-scale force-on-force warfare that we've seen in Europe since World War II. And regardless of whether we stay in or stay out, it affects all of our allies with whom we trade and do a lot of. Anyway, the bottom line is I really do believe that Trump's going to make some deals in the background that are going to wind up benefiting the U.S. But the end result is him negotiating as a mediator without us having a blank checkbook that he's just writing, like the Biden administration just cranked up the auto pen, opened up the checkbook, and just streamed money out of there with no plan for 4 years, 3 years. And the bottom line is Trump serving as a mediator, I don't think anybody is. I mean, I don't sense that anybody in his base is mad that he's negotiating peace. I think people are glad that he's not writing checks, and that's the biggest thing right now. Ukraine's got problems. But if we can be there to see things through and put Russia back in its place, I think that he's doing the right thing. And I think he's absolutely doing the right thing. Dale?
Yeah, the negotiation's fine. He said no boots on the ground. He wants to continue playing a role in all of this. He wants to say, I'm the one who did this. I don't think he cares really how it ends, just that it ends. And I think it's how most Americans are. If we don't kind of put American lives at risk or any of this stuff, I mean, fine, whatever, give up parts of Ukraine, we don't really care. And I think that's where we're at. And I think Putin's playing a game right now. I don't think that he's serious about this. I think if he was, we wouldn't be hearing conversations about, we're going to meet in Budapest. No, we're going to meet in Moscow. No, you can't have troops on the ground. Yes, you can't have troops on the ground. So I think we're just playing, we're part of the bigger game. But if Trump doesn't get something out of this, I think this will pretty much be it for us in the involvement of this.
Yeah, I think you're about to see some massive sanctions on Russia, too, because here's the other piece of this. If things don't resolve, Trump's not going to walk away with egg on his face. He's going to walk away and say, well, I told you what would happen. And bam, we're going to wind up seeing Russia's economy take a massive hit. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be on Putin that does. But we'll see. Jeff, your own question. What are you thinking?
No, I guess the real answer to this question is kind of contingent on which way the economy goes. I mean, other things. But, you know, and this may be just purely me interpreting like a media narrative and the amount of attention this is getting. But, I mean, I think we're getting a little bit of Ukraine fatigue among the rest does say like this, the natives are getting restless.
Okay, fair enough. Let me jump on the next question right now. The Target CEO has stepped down. The Target CEO, you know, Target, the brick and mortar retail store, the upper class Walmart. They were at the forefront. I remember when I was in the legislature, they were the first ones in the nation to come out with the trans bathroom thing. And back in like 2015, well, this CEO has been there for 10 years. He led them through all of that. And he is now stepping down because the board of directors decided they got to have a change because their retail is in the tank. Is this a sign that woke is broke and that they're finally admitting it? Dale, you first.
Dale has muted himself.
Dale has muted himself. Dale, good pray job, tell, Dale. Why would you mute yourself? All right, Jeff, you go.
I think the margins are so thin. It's a highly competitive environment with retail. These big box retailers are scrapping for everything because Amazon and online commerce have changed the game. And, Senator, it's like this. You're a big brand. You exist solely to make profits.
That's right.
You could talk about community responsibility and all that nonsense, but if you're not achieving your core mission, you're not able to do all this other side stuff that they've put out there. And I just think, you know, when these companies get into politics, be it right of center or left of center, whatever. You put off some people, and those people you put off are customers, and that goes against the core mission. I don't get it. I don't understand why, like Bud Light, Coca-Cola, Walmart, and Target, and they dabble in this arena. They misread the public. The 2024 election showed that the country wasn't moving to the left. There was no financial incentive for them to go left. And I think that's I think there's something here. I don't, you know, the CEO at Target, the former CEO now, thought that he was getting on the right bandwagon, and he totally misread the public.
Yeah, he did. And I think what he also misread was his shareholders, who would like to actually make a profit on what they own in terms of shares of the company. And when you watch a company go all in on things like having chest binders and tuck pants for children in the swimwear section, so that kids can be transgender at, you know, 5 years old, you have totally lost your way. And I think the board of directors and the shareholders finally said, enough. Did we ever get Dale back? Is he unmuted? Dale, what are you thinking on this Target CEO?
I did not mute myself, but I could not unmute myself. That's fun. They made a mistake. They blew it just like everyone else did, and they don't seem to understand that. And, you know, they have some other boycott going on with black folks boycotting them as well over stuff, and they've just tried to do too much. Nobody wants this from their brands. Just sell your stupid products. That's all we want you to do. We don't need all this other stuff from you. And these people keep taking it on the chin, and that's on them. Keep doing stupid stuff, I guess.
Third question. We got about a minute and a half. What do you got, Dale?
All right. So Trump's got troops in D.C. Tennessee is sending 160. Alabama hasn't said they're going to send any yet that I've seen. Maybe they will. But forget about that. Trump can't go into Birmingham, but KIV could. Will this open the door for something like that?
Well, you know, last year we had a bill in the legislature. They were actually talking about doing it, replacing the police chief. And then, of course, we have the joint task force in Montgomery that really did actually a pretty good job of trying to, you know, reduce violent crime in Montgomery. I think that they have to. And I think we're also going to find out that, oh, by the way, just like the stats were gerrymandered in D.C., you're finding the stats are probably gerrymandered in Birmingham as well. Crime's not falling. Jeff, your thoughts?
No, I don't know. I think is going on in Birmingham is that behind the scenes, Woodford's cooperating and he's doing what he's supposed to. He's cooperating with the feds. There's probably a situation in Birmingham where they may not want it out there politically for political reasons, but I think they're way more cooperative than the folks in the district were.
10 seconds, Dale, you got any final thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think they should. I'd love to see it. And hopefully Kay Ivey figures out why she should do it.
I don't think Kay Ivey will do anything, but there's that. All right. That's it. That's the Grand Council. That flew by. All right. Hey, my brethren, Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, Dale Jackson from WVNN up yonder in Huntsville. And oh, by the way, with 8 Yellowhammer News as well. And just little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.